everyone, and welcome back to the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will. I'm Wayne Cavanaugh.
And I'm Will Alexander.
You are, and you're back in your home country.
I'm back in my home country. I still have my Kraken hat on.
Good Canadian man. Anyway, this week we're going to talk about nationals. National specialty, keeping the special in national. Being vigilant with your dogs and your cars and your vehicles. It's out of control. Low entry breeds. The new list is out. All that and more right here on the Dog Show Drive. Young William, and welcome back to Milton, Ontario, your home.
I am home. It was a fun 3 weeks, but you know, it's like anything else. You're happy to be home, you know, but it was fun to be out there and visit Sherry Burnt Smith and Beagles, Beagle World, Foxtail, because her and I co-breed and co-own dogs together. But yeah, it was a great time. Had a great time out there. Got to go to a Kraken game and got to go to museums.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. You've got to mix in some real world with the dog shows.
Yeah.
Makes a lot. I just saw a post. Some judge said she always plans ahead and finds some museums or something to see while she's in that town. I think she was in St. Louis and went to the, you know, did the arch and all that. It's a good, healthy thing to do, or else you're just running around from dog show to dog show and you don't even know where you are. I mean, when I was working for a living a million years ago, I used to try, my secretary would plan an event for me while I was on that trip. Because otherwise, people would say, well, how do you like California? The airport and the hotel were great.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all
like dog shows. You get to travel. Oh, yeah, hockey rinks and rec centers and barns.
Yep. So I'm glad to stop to do some other stuff.
Well, and Sherry organized that all for me. She's great. So
yeah, you have to have somebody besides us flakes to go organize things. Hey, we take everything seriously.
Except ourselves.
Absolutely. So how is Rose City? I love those shows.
Oh, those are wonderful shows. It's a big show. It's like an event for them. There's 2,000 plus dogs each day, and the best in show lineup ends up just spectacular. Everybody that's from that area, from the West Coast, is there. It was just a great time. Plus, there was some East Coast people that showed up there as well. It was a wonderful show event. They do a great job there.
Yeah, and Patty Strand and many others are just so vested in that show, and they've put so much time and so many years into it, and it shows. You know, to have a event that's, when you're able to have a consistent event and a consistent spot and have that date locked in and no big competition around you, it really makes it special. And people will come, you know, build it and they will come, and they do.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, it's a great event. One I really enjoy and haven't been to in a while.
Well, just such good depth in all the breed rings. Almost. There was some low entries. But you could go and put yourself down in a chair and watch somebody and watch them judge dogs because there was an entry of 20 plus dogs or so.
Yeah. So speaking of low entry, Will, Gordon Setters have moved to the new 2023 low entry breeds list.
Yes, I noticed that.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. They're in there with Moody's and Harriers and Barbet and Oswalks and many others. And it's just, it's sad to see that slip away. Great breed, beautiful breed. And you and I have had great associations with them too. Yeah, it's sad, but that's 102 now of the 200 breeds or low entry breeds. 102 of our 200 breeds.
That's a staggering statistic when you think about it.
Yeah. So in half of our breeds now, a dog only has to beat three other dogs to get a major. And and they could be the same three dogs. You know, there may only be four Gordon Setters in a particular area, and if the same four show up three times, you've only beaten three dogs, specifically three unique dogs, and you're a champion. Oh, my friends in England right now are going, you must be kidding.
Yep.
But yeah, that's
why is this though? Like this sort of goes on to a post that I noticed this morning in Facebook about shows in Ontario. Why is there not enough shows in March in Ontario? The handlers are going to starve. Now it was a genuine post, but it turned into a bashing of handlers, which I wasn't happy about. But it's the same thing. Like we were talking about low entries, and people were saying, well, in the post, because it bounced around from topic to topic in the threads, that the shows weren't big enough to afford to have that many dogs, that many shows that month. The entries weren't big enough. Why do we want three little shows in Ontario when you can go to Syracuse, you can go to wherever? Right. And I'm the same. I feel the same way about it. I feel that just like as far as handlers go, I didn't like that it went to handler. They were a little negative on handlers, but I didn't like that part of it. But as a handler, there were no shows in my area. I went and found shows, and it was almost like a migrant worker. You go where the work is.
Yeah,
that's just the way it is, the way it always was, especially for us up here. We never had shows in the winter. We're Canada. We're freezing.
Right. how many shows, how many all breed shows do you think we have in the States, AKC license championship, you know, regular shows a year?
How many?
Take a guess.
I hate to guess. I don't want to guess.
52 weeks, you know.
Yeah. Triple it. Well, more than that. It's crazy. I don't know. What is it?
1,500.
Holy jumpins.
1,500 all breed dog shows every year. Oh, and by the way, so if you lose, it's okay. You've got 1,499 other chances. 1,499 other chances. So, yeah, you know, if there's a small number of Gordon Setters being shown and you spread them over 1,500 shows, what do you think's going to happen?
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it's pretty sad.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Pretty sad. If, you know, if I were king, well,
can't wait to be king.
There's one quick move that they could make to get a whole lot of money freed up to put into marketing and advertising. But
are we going to tell me? You going to tell me?
I don't think
I can. I won't tell anybody.
Well, I don't know about paying rent in two places, and I'll leave it at that. Let's move on, though, Will. I want to talk about, in the same sort of breath, national specialties. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about this a lot lately, and Aldi is a great pivot point, right? Because this is Aldi Virginia, the Beagle National. We've talked about it before. It's every 5 years, and it's an event because it's at this historic farm with a clubhouse built in 1918. And this club was actually, this land was bought by a bunch of Beaglers that call themselves the National Beagle Club. And then, and it's also it's the administration for not just Beagles, but Bassets too. So it's pack trials there. They run small pack option and pack trials, and they have hunting grounds. And so there's this history, and there's this link to all the hunting things that we're supposed to be taking into consideration when we're valuing breeding stock, right? And that specialty, because of the history and the every 5 years things makes it special, it's a great example of 315 Beagles last year, right? You're not going to see many at an all breed show, but you'll see 315 at the National.
Yeah.
And it's a special event. It's not held in conjunction with any other all breed shows. It stands on its own. It does so well. Well, I was thinking about this, and it's not like Beagles are giant entries.
No.
I mean, geez, at a regular show, you get 1-2-1-2.
I was in Portland last week, and just to put things in perspective, there was a 2,000 dog show. There were five 15-inch Beagles.
Yeah.
They're all champions too.
Yeah, but 300 and some, over 300, well over, come to the National. So you build an event like this, you know that there's enough Beagles around. you know, they're spread very thin. But more important, if you have a special event like that, I know when you and I go, we are 100% focused on beagles, nothing else.
Yeah, beagles and beagle people. It's just all, it's what it's about.
And there's people that share that passion, and they're sharing and learning and talking and showing each other puppies and dogs. And I've been to nationals in, without naming particular breeds, in a breed that had nationals out in a beautiful field at someone's farm, at a beautiful hotel with a ballroom. Or one year we had it at a hotel that had a beautiful field. So it was an outdoor show held at the grounds, on the grounds of a hotel. They were so special. I have those memories of, I can tell you which way the wind was blowing those days. You know, it's so special. And you can just feel that focus on your breed. Yeah. And then that that's some of those same breeds a year later, 10 years later, you end up in an all-breed show on a fairgrounds where there's 10 different pole barns, and you're off in one pole barn in the corner. There's nothing special about it.
Yeah.
Nothing. It's a national. It's not a national specialty to me because you don't get that feeling. I understand the reasons for doing so. Money, convenience, and heaven forbid, there's plenty of RV parking. when you link it to an all breed. There's, by the way, at Aldi, 300 and some beagles, by the way, giant national every year. There's no parking for RVs, none. The parking lot's on a hill. Yep. You open the door, it's worth your life getting out of your car. And yeah.
And the narrow little roads, it's to get there. Like, we have to be dedicated.
Yes, but it that history brings it together. Yeah. And when you start casting off with all breeds, it loses its flavor, in my opinion. Now, with that said, if you have your national with certain all breed or group shows, that could be different. If you have a national at Morris and Essex, if you have a national at Montgomery,
which are some terriers have nationals there, yeah. Right. So,
you know, that's a bit different. So, you know, you lose that, Josh. We can't stop for one damn weekend and focus on our breed. We have to be at a show where the dog can be shown 16 times at the all breeds, and maybe at night, and maybe two a days, and maybe other specialties at night after the all breed. We have to be able to show our dog 67,000 times in 4 days. Yeah. Is that why we go with the all breeds?
I'll tell you how much has changed up here. When I was a kid, my parents bred Irish setters, and our national especially was a standalone national for up here. And it got like 100, 150 dogs in the national, yeah, especially, which is a good national up here.
Yeah,
but it was a standalone. Like, we had an event, mm-hmm, that day, and that was our standalone. We also had what was called Irish Setter Club of Canada's members match, where we had this match at, and it was usually, we held, like, we hosted a couple times at our farm where they had a match, and it was champions. It was a full specialty, but it was called the members match, and they would choose each year. That I think my dad judged it one year, and so and so judged it one year. They got 60, 70 dogs at that, mm-hmm, you know, and it was a day of everybody brought their puppies, and it was a day of Irish setters in Canada. You know,
you're committing yourselves mentally and physically to just focusing on one breed. Like I said, you have 1,400, well, actually 1,500 all breeds you can go to. You can take one weekend and focus on your breed. Now, if you have a low breed entry breed, you know, if you have, you know, Quakers or Norfolks or any, or, well, Norfolks can go to Montgomery, but any of the low entry breeds, I understand you can't afford to have a 16-dog national. In 2019, gosh, I just had this. In 2019, and I can't give you the exact numbers, but I can tell you that there were, I have the exact number somewhere, so it's aggravating, but I can't find them right now. There were, I think, 11 nationals, 11 breeds didn't have a national, just didn't have one. And there are over 20 that didn't have more than 15 entries. So I understand that you can't have an independent standalone, I should say standalone, national if you don't have enough dogs.
Right. Yeah.
But well, there are ways that around
a lot
it.
Up here. So
there are ways around it. And one of the ways that I think is wonderful, back to Aldi, they had a Foxhound National and a Harrier National the day after the Beagle. What a brilliant idea.
Yep.
What a brilliant idea for several reasons. One, these are related root breeds, right? Obviously, Foxhounds, Harriers, Beagles, right? If your nationals should be about everything, one of the important elements is education. So if you're studying to be a judge or just studying the breed, the best way to learn any breed, in my opinion, is to learn about its root breeds. You can't know the differences between the three setters by just learning one setter. You'll never understand the difference. Why would you know the difference? If you only saw and studied English setters, four now, right? If you only studied Irish setters and you knew about those, and they say it should be different than a Gordon and different than English, how would you know unless you studied all three breeds, right? So similarly with these related root breeds, it's a great opportunity. If you're a judge looking for education and maybe points, if that's your thing, but true education, you can go to Aldi for 2 days, 3 days, and take in these three breeds. You're never going to see a bigger Foxhound entry. You're never going to see a bigger Harrier entry. Yep. And you're never going to have more access to education in those breeds. So lumping them together, especially tagging them to a big breed, is a great idea for related breeds. And the grounds and the expenses, you share all its efficiencies, obviously. Another one is at Purina Farms, it's done several times a year, a bunch of clubs will get together that aren't necessarily related. They may even be from different groups. But they'll share Purina Farms, and they'll get six of them together, and they'll have their nationals in one venue at the same time. But still, it gives it your focus pretty much on your breed, and maybe you can wander off and see the other five or six, but you're not in the middle of 200 breeds being shown. The other thing about independent nationals, you take a week off of the mental process and waste of adding up your points for your all breeds and your rankings. No one cares. For 2 days, no one cares.
Sit back and relax. Talk about dogs from the past. Talk about upcoming dogs. Talk about just relax.
If you, I was at a national not too long ago where it was in a pole barn and an all breed, and no one even knew it was there.
Yeah.
None of the exhibitors knew it was there. And, oh, we liked it because it was tucked away in a corner. Well, the dogs weren't in that pole barn. They're out in the vans and trucks. There are maybe 10 crates lined on a wall that somebody had some dogs in. So if you come to the ringside, there's none of that repartee. There's none of that discussion. You could go to somebody's van that you like and know and look at the dogs in the expense, but there's something about having 375 Irish Wolfhounds sitting around the ring at the Irish Wolfhound
National. Most Saluki Nationals that all had their own little living rooms around the ring with all these dogs. I think it's great.
You know, that's how you're going to learn. When you stick it in a building in an all breed, you don't have that sense of the only dogs that are there in the ring, and good luck seeing them because it's pretty dark in those buildings sometimes. Right. And if you're not in that perfect chair, you know, you're not going to get to see them. It's too bad.
Well, it's like
I understand the problems, the expense, the efficiencies. But there's got to be a better way.
Even that you think about the old combined setter specialties, how wonderful they would be to go and sit and watch. And you had 2 to 3 days of specialties. You could switch breeds after each day and watch. And I used to have so much fun on those shows, just sitting and watching and talking about English setters with Elliot or you, or like it was just.
Wasn't that special?
You can't.
Yeah, that was it's crossed. No, I don't know my phone number or where my keys are or where anything is, but I can tell you that show started in 1960, combined setter. And it was just the three setters, and it went through, it was the Statler Hilton originally. That hotel was built in 1918 by the Pennsylvania Railroad, which is why it was called the Hotel Pennsylvania. Then it changed to the Statler Hilton. And after the Statler Hilton, it became the Penta and then the Hotel Pennsylvania. The New York Penta.
You're a bit like Cliff Clavin of the dog show world, aren't you?
And then the Hotel Pennsylvania became a great place for overnight stays for rodents. It was a very good place for rodents. So in 2020, they knocked it down. Mercy, right? Down it went. I was, you know, the rats scurried, but when the building came down, but unfortunately, so did the memories. They'll never leave. I mean, you can't make any new ones, but the old ones that were made there, how many stories could that building tell? Right.
I remember seeing about it.
I remember seeing Chandel's Anchorman and Joe, I'm gonna mess his name up, Kazany, because then he running around that ring with and I remember bucket of bolts by law and all those English setters that we never got to see from the West Coast coming in. And it was so now these weren't nationals, but holding together made them special.
Right.
It was just special. You were focused on that. And another part of that hotel, by the way, was Progressive, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Toy specialty. And that was a great way to do it because they're going to be in town for Westminster anyway. There's a big difference of having three setter specialties combined the day before the garden than it is having your setter specialty in the middle of a 10-day cluster. There's a big, big difference in the feel of that.
I used to love when I was a kid and I would go to the garden, I used to love being in the lobby of the Pennsylvania. It was like watching stars come in, you know, it was like everybody checking in. It was like, Oh, look who's there. They almost felt human to you.
And by the way, in the movie Best in Show, did they not nail that hotel in the rooms?
Oh, gotcha.
So, pardon me, back to combined setter. When they had to leave, they went to a hotel, might have been the Meadowlands, I think it was. And they got booted out of there quickly because the Super Bowl was held there the next year. And they'd start to bring in other breeds to make it financially feasible. And they went to, Westchester. That hotel closed after COVID because they just lost business for too long. Mm-hmm. So they just moved this year, they're relocating to, and I kind of like it, it's the Stamford Hilton, which sounds close enough to the Statler Hilton for me, Will. Yeah. And Stamford, Connecticut. It's still the week before the garden. So dogs come out on their way. So you get a good mix, but they've added other breeds now. When I say it's the three setters, it's the three main setters. Irish Red and Whites are not there, unfortunately. So it's just English Irish Gordon. But it's also Dachshunds, German Shorthair Pointers, and Dobermans, I believe. Yeah, those three.
And unrelated, are Beasley's there still or no?
No, they were, but they're not this year. I still can't find my phone, but I know that. So they've now combined these breeds together, and they call it the Winter Garden Specialties. I love they use the garden in there. It still gives you that link historically to the old garden. And they've made that work. Again, they're not nationals, but it's an example of how, first of all, this group has found venues after getting knocked on their feet from a Super Bowl and COVID and everything else. They found a way to keep it going. It can be done. There are, no one wants to be in Stamford, kind of far away from Manhattan, but you can do it. It can work. And they've made it work. Mm-hmm. I just think they do a great job. And more, one of the other things they do is the English Setter Club this year, and I know it's true for the Irish Setter Club and all the breeds, months ahead, they start having fundraisers. Donate this art, donate what you have. It's got a setter on it, a tea towel, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And they raise funds that way for auctions so they can maintain the whole, you know, the really nice job of putting on these beautiful special things. So there are ways to do it with nationals too. If you have three breeds that are sort of related, man, there's some.
That's a great idea. When you think you talk about, you could do with pointers. Well, the spaniels obviously do it with spaniel club.
You could.
It's a great idea.
And it gives you a way to still keep it. I guess my point is not all national specialties feel special to me anymore.
Right.
And there's got to be a way to link that back. You can do shared facilities with related breeds or even non-related breeds, but keep it tight. Put it a week before another show to bring handlers in from California or exhibitors in from Hawaii or whatever you're looking to do to get your entry going. And I get that. I guess people say the entry is better if you're in conjunction with an all breed. I don't think so.
I don't think so either. The late Doug Windsor had he bred flat coated retrievers, and he had a dog show. He has a dog show named Laura Gorge. He was a big retriever person. He loved all retrievers. He bred goldens, but he basically bred flat coats. Well, at his show, he had a day where he just has retriever specialty. It's a huge event. They come in, whoever, and this is after Christmas, so they still get an entry of probably, for Ontario, probably get 100 retrievers after Christmas. And it's all about retrievers, and people go and they watch, and it's an event for them.
I'm on the board of I'm on a couple of boards, but one of the boards here in Michigan that I'm on, we had our board meeting last week, and I said, what do we really need to strive for next year? And I said, one of us old guys has got to step down and bring in some young guy, because we want to stay with the tradition, but we need new ideas, new creative ideas. We're so hung up. Our nationals have to be this way. They have to do that. That we want to preserve the tradition like Aldi, but you want to get creative, like adding foxhounds and harriers.
Yeah.
That's the combination that makes so much sense to me. Maintain the tradition, but come up with some new ideas to make it financially feasible and educationally feasible. I mean, education at nationals, where else are you going to get it? It's the best place to go.
And then I could see if you look at it, it's a proven recipe. If you look at Spaniel Club, you look at Montgomery, it's approved. It does work. It works. Yeah. They come together.
Yeah, so they do. And I think we just need a little more creativity at that.
But those are the young people. And again, on this thread this morning that I was listening to, it went from clubs to new people. The young people aren't volunteering as much as they used to.
Do we invite them to? Do we make them part of it? Do we ask them to be on the board? I can tell you what my parents did when in English Setters in our little local club. A new person joined the club before they got soured. You're the president.
Congratulations. Oh, great. And,
it worked. We had a junior's version of the Hudson English Setter Club. And by the way, I think the Hudson is part of the combined Winter Garden specialty. We had a junior's version. We had our own meetings and everything. We were 10, 14, 16 years old. Oh. And we had our meetings, and it was Lori Howe and Holly Forbes now, Holly Howe, Doug, another guy, can't think of his name. He's passed. But there's a bunch of us, and we got together and had our own little meetings, and we had our junior showmanship rules, and we had our own sweepstakes. And boy, I'll tell you, most of us stayed in it.
Yeah, well, that comes with, I don't know if it's all the distractions we have nowadays or not, but I remember when I was in junior handling, we were also, all the junior handlers were also fascinated with the Professional Handlers Association.
Yeah.
And we wanted to start, when we were in the 70s, start a assistant handlers, it was the Association for the Assistants in Canada. And we were all so pumped about it. We all had meetings. It never came to fruition. But I started thinking about everybody that was in those meetings and that attended them. They're all still here.
Isn't that something? That is really cool. And that's what we kind of have to build on. You can try to bring the 4-H kids in. I get that. Every little bit helps. But there's nothing like really getting into the roots and trying to come up with creative ideas and solutions that'll embrace the youth and bring them in. And you not just patronize them, not just pat them on the head and give them a ribbon. Make them get involved and find ways around their busy schedules or whatever it might take. We have virtual meetings now, ladies and gentlemen. We don't have to just be there. So there's all this and more, but you can't just put a bunch of flowers in a dank building and expect it to feel special. You can't, and by the way, in a 6-day cluster, for example, if your nationals in it, right? You can go best in show on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, lose the national on Saturday, and go best in show on Sunday and Monday. Or you can win best in show you can lose the breed on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, win the national on Sunday. and lose the breed on Monday. Don't you want to just be the champion for a day? Don't you want to just want to be the national winner? You know, at least for a day. Give me 24 hours, 48 hours of being the winner of the national.
A friend of mine contacted me about they want to start a sporting dog club in Western Ontario, Western Canada. And they wanted to be like a good old-fashioned gentleman, ladies, sporting dog club. And they wanted some ideas. And I told them that when you and I attended the Dublin Sporting Dog Specialty.
Yeah.
That was an event. Yeah. And so I told them that might be the blueprint they should look at. They might want to start investigating that and talking to those people over there. Because when we went there, and I think Tom was the president of that club.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, I think of that because I still have my pin.
Yeah. I saved very few, but I have that one.
And it just seemed so special to be there. It really did. And
do you know the story of that club?
No. I'm sure you're going to tell me.
Well, someone screwed up and skipped with the money or something.
Oh,
and
geez.
The club was about to go under. They didn't have any money. And when we went over and did that seminar, the Tom Kramer, the former chairman of the Irish Kennel Club, who's passed, one of our dear, dear friends, when he invited us over to do that seminar, it was you, Mark, and I think, right?
Yeah.
The seminar. The money they got from selling tickets, which were really expensive to come see us, but you know, Kramer could sell ice cream to icebergs to Eskimos. I don't know. So he could sell anything. That's probably not proper saying. Anyway, he sold those tickets. The money that they raised from that refunded that sporting dog club, Gun Dog Society, by the way, yeah. Irish Gun Dog yeah. Society, refunded it so they could keep having those shows and it's still going on. So we didn't even know we were doing a bit of good for them.
And it was so much fun. And we got to see so many great dogs from Springers to Red and Whites to
fun. It was great fun. And I had a wonderful time judging dark red mahogany Irish setters with fronts. Yeah, it was great fun. It really was. But there's ways to make it work. And I just like to challenge every club. And I know you can't all do it. I know you all fight. I know you don't get along with the other club, whatever. But would you rather try to find a way to get along with a related breed club and co-host nationals? Or do you want to be over in a corner? It's some
I think that's a great idea, Wayne. I really do. The more I think about it, I think you're right on the money for that one. And I can see it being successful. And I think I'm going to suggest it to people up here, to clubs up here, because.
Oh, here's another one for you. They should be educational, right? I was talking to actually Tom Gravy about this. And, you know, he's involved in horse shows. When you're invited to do a national, you're almost always invited to do a critique, which I love doing. But, you know, when you got 300 of them or 200 of them or 100 or even 60, it's not all that easy.
No.
And people have found ways. Our friend and great dog guy and just great human, Steve Herman, when he did the Porno National last year, he did speak to text. He just spoke into his phone and texted himself. And Jim Edwards used to use a tape recorder. I'm not sure if that's what's allowed anymore. I can tell you what I enjoyed doing, and this is what I do in Europe. When the dogs are standing at the ribbons, I step. I don't think they allow this. Whatever, who cares? But over there, they don't care. When the dogs are standing at the ribbons, I didn't care if they were sitting, begging, eating a cookie. They didn't have to be set up. I would step back and take a picture. I would remember those four dogs.
Right.
Just the cue from seeing that picture would remind me of what I saw. No. And but Tom had a great idea. At horse shows, the judges get a scribe. And by the way, if you've been the doctor lately at a good place, they often have a scribe now. Because otherwise you sit there and type all day.
Right.
And as you're judging, you say to the scribe, number 19, write down good front, didn't like its eyes. It could be better over its croup, whatever. And they're writing that down as you go. First of all, you're saying
it. I thought of having a scribe.
I like it, right? And with a feather and a quill pen and ink, it would be great, right? Wear a
come
little
on.
Outfit. But
Sloan. We're judging Irish setters.
That's right. Someone write down the things for you. And yes, you can just do it in a tape recorder. I get that. But
it's not the same.
Think about this. What if prospective judges, you want to have a good way to get a CEU? Be a scribe.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
You're hearing and thinking through what the judge is thinking, and you're writing it down. It has to be something that's educational.
There's no better way to learn. Like when you're studying in school, you think about those things, and you think about writing things down, and you learn that way. Some people do, and that's a great idea.
I mean, let's do it, Wayne. As soon as Tom mentioned scribe, the whole wheel started spinning. And really, what I can't think of a better way. You can sit at ringside and talk to somebody who's pimping their own kennel. Or you can go into the ring with a judge who may or may not agree with, but you're hearing what they're saying.
That's a great idea.
And you're writing it down. I think that would be that's more credible CEUs than anything.
I think that's a really good way to go. This has been an idea man episode, hasn't it? This is great.
Yeah, it happens. I had my tea this morning.
And the Leafs won last night, so I'm kind of pumped too. So.
They did. You want to mention...
Am I Kraken one too?
Yes! Hey, I had my Kraken sweatshirt before... I don't know if it was before you. But it's probably the same time.
Yeah, well, I had a jersey when they first started. Sherry Burnsmith, my friend in Seattle, I was there and I got an original Seattle Metropolitan sweatshirt because that was the team. They'd already won the Stanley Cup, the Metropolitans. Yeah. I think they should have stuck with it before I attended the game. After I attended the game and they used all this water theme and it's very exciting. And now I'm wearing
out the Kraken. Yeah.
Release the Kraken.
It's a sea monster, by the way. I paid for mine myself, Will, so I got just the plain hoodie that says Kraken on it.
I got a Grubauer jersey. I got a sweatshirt. I got my hat. I mean, just... I'm fanboy. Fanboy!
You're spoiled. You're spoiled. We talked earlier about a sculptor who has come onto the scene that has blown our minds.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Fan Yu. If you haven't met him, I don't know what to say about... The way his genuine kindness artistic mind just bleeds onto you. You can't help but feel that aura and want to be like Fan.
Yeah. It's so refreshing. I met Fan the first time when I did a seminar in China, I want to say 2015 or so. And he was incredible even back then. Like he's talented by beyond all, like, we were doing a grooming seminar there and he was like, boom, 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 done. Like he should have done the seminar, not me. And, but he is such a genuine individual and he makes you feel good about yourself. He's just great that way. And I love seeing him and he's being so successful with his dogs and his sculpting. But that all aside, you can tell him how great he is. He'll ask you how your day is.
Exactly.
Or how happy he is to see you.
He's so humble and zen. It's beautiful to be in his presence. But even in Orlando, here's this busy week, and he had his booth, which is just beautiful and beautifully decorated. He's out in the aisle there sculpting. And I said to him, who are you doing? And he said, a woman has two, I think it was Kerry Blues, but it was some terrier breed. She has two of them. They're different. And she wanted me to blend them together into one sculpture. Not a problem for Fan.
Oh, he's unbelievable. He's so talented. Yeah. I always thought we should have had him do P for us, because that would have been amazing.
Yeah. Well, not too late. And by the way, hats off to Billy and Taffy for being his American mentors and bringing him under the wing. And
you can see the love there. Like I was set up not that close to them. I had to walk by them all the time. And they're a family. They're definitely a family. And Bill, you got to love Bill. I don't know if you listened to the 10 questions. I did 10 questions to Bill and Taffy. When he said Jimmy Stewart should play him in the movie, I thought, he is right on.
I never thought until he said it too, and I thought that is Jimmy Stewart.
I loved it. I thought about it. I even talked to Taffa the next day. And now all I see is Jimmy Stewart there. I'll take my dog out there and win.
I don't know.
Hot dog.
There's very few people in the sport that are more respected as a human and a handler and a dog man and a trimmer than Bill. We're lucky to have them. And Taffy, obviously.
Oh, they're so, I love talking to them together because the rapport, they roll their eyes at each other. She sometimes looks away when he says, it's just the best.
It's pretty cool.
I don't know if you noticed his little salute that he does. Yeah. That's due to Bill losing his finger.
I know. The first time I saw it, I thought he won 3 best in shows.
No, he's done that for years. He's done that for years.
Is that really?
Total respect for Bill and what Bill's taught him, that he does this salute to him every time he is congratulated. It's
beautiful. Beautiful souls out there. You just have to find them.
Yeah.
And when you balance that, or you can never balance that, with all the jerks out there. And by the way, we talked about this a little earlier, Will. You had a great response for people who are being criticized and harassed for their decisions in the judges. Harassed. You know,
totally harassed.
Especially if someone's new in a breed, come up just ripping them about their decision. Even though the same dog won every 4 days under other judges, they pick on that one and go try to criticize them. You had a wonderful line about criticism and advice.
Yeah, I told my friend, don't take criticism from someone you wouldn't take advice from.
Brilliant.
So
that's brilliant. Think about that. When you're getting criticized, think, is that someone you would take advice from? That's true every single time.
Yeah, I was amazed. I got a message at 10 o'clock at night criticizing this person. And as karma has it, the next day, the same thing happened under the judge. They told me to come and watch to be educated. You know, it was
mine. And if you're not in there, if you're not in the ring,
right?
Stop. You don't know what we're seeing. And by the way, the same dog doesn't have to win every day.
No.
Diversity of opinions is essential to the survival of this sport. Same dogs win every day, doesn't do anybody any good, and no one's thinking. They're just pointing.
Right. And so, you can make the breeds that were there, there was lots of depth there. You can make a case for a lot of different dogs in there to win that breed or variety.
Yeah.
Don't go after somebody and say that they need to be educated because I think because they were newer, they thought they were an easier target. I don't know.
I caught myself not too long ago, well, a couple years ago, doing that. After a big, maybe I think it was national. Yeah, it was an all breed, so I can't really tell. Didn't feel special, but it might have been a national or specialty, who knows. And I wasn't happy with some of the decisions, and someone who I'm trusting and close to asked me about it. And I thought to myself, man, I was not happy. And then when this person asked, I'm just like, you know, they were all good dogs. They weren't the ones I didn't necessarily put up, but how can you complain? They were good dogs. This is a good dog person. He deserves our respect in there. And keep your criticism to yourself. It's just not
exactly.
It's just not how the sport survives.
And you can question things, but question things positively. Don't question them like, I don't know. It's just hard to take sometimes, Wayne. So
it is hard to take sometimes. One more thing I want to talk about, Will, and it happened again. A theft of a van with dogs in it.
Yes.
I mean, this is a crazy world, and we're just so not used to, I mean, back in the day, all the purses went in one crate, right? All the money and jewelry went in one crate, and you didn't think twice about it.
Yeah.
Now you've just got to watch everything.
Well, for
especially
sure.
At spectator shows when you get a lot of people.
I'm glad it ended well for Vandra Huber. Had her van stolen at the hotel last week in Portland. She had four dogs. Now, obviously, the people didn't realize, or I don't think the thieves realized the dogs were back there. They saw this beautiful Mercedes van and thought, oh, I'm taking it. Right. But unfortunately, the dogs were in there. And the dog world went crazy and started sharing and watch out for this. And the dogs were returned all unharmed. And I'm glad it ended happily. But it's a shame that we have to worry about such things.
Yeah. Now we need alarm systems and cameras and everything else. And it's just too bad, because I know Rhonda takes great care of her dogs.
Oh, my God. She's had dogs forever, and they're impeccable, you know?
Yeah, it can happen to anybody. And you just have to be extra vigilant. Unfortunately, these days, you have to be extra vigilant.
But like it was cold in Portland, and I went out, walked the beagle, and I started the van, lowered the beagle, and Sherry and I would go have breakfast. But I'll tell you, when I started the van and put the beagle in there, I double checked. I'm like, stop, did I lock that? I went back to make sure, right? Mm-hmm. But it's just unfortunately you have to feel that way. It really is. Yep.
And a couple of my cars, I have all kinds of apps that can tell me what the temperature is. When the doors are locked, I can unlock them, lock them. If it moves, I get notified. Yeah. It's what you have to have these days, and that's just too damn bad.
It's just crazy.
What it is. Now, in both cases, the last theft too, a few months ago, or maybe more than a few months ago, I think they were just after the van, like you say, and the dogs, they panic. Once they steal the thing, they're driving down there, oh, God, the dog's back
there. There's dogs back there.
And in this case, as I understand it, it was a good Samaritan, not related to dog shows, who saw this van on the side of the road that looked suspicious and called it in.
Yeah, apparently went into the van and watered the dogs and looked after them.
Yeah.
And returned them back to Vandra at the hotel.
Man, oh man, you know, what a world.
Yeah.
Anyway, we just have to be vigilant, and we also have to be creative. And that goes for all dog shows, all nationals, all trophies, all judges' selections, and everything else. I just spent 2 days sorting through some of my new judges' applications for new breeds. Oh, my. Well, what a job. You know, I'm creating spreadsheets in Templeton. I'm thinking, maybe I should share these for other people. They're all in the same boat. How do you keep score? And maybe we should just anybody who's judges, there should be some repository. I guess you could do it on some judges' group. What do you use? Do you use spreadsheets? Do you have a format that works for you and you're keeping track of all these things? Do you make up your own stuff? Do you use a whiteboard? Do you have an iPad in the ring? I see people have iPad minis and iPads with the breed standards on them in the ring rather than carrying that. My binder is getting pretty heavy now.
Yeah.
You keep adding breeds to it. And by the way, if you're going to be asked to do best in shows, owner handler best in shows, or owner handler groups in breeds where you only have one or none and it's an emergency, nice to have those standards. So you're going to carry 200 standards with you in a binder, or maybe use a phone or a book. Now, of course, in my world, we'd have tablets for judges to make their placements and record all that. But I understand how we still like mimeograph paper in our organization. I don't even know where they get it. I'd have to buy it from Back to the Future movie makers.
Yeah, a retro store.
Retro stores. But any ideas the judges have on how to put this stuff together is going to help try to make this process more efficient, because it's cumbersome.
Yeah.
And by the way, here's another one. Judging this weekend, good size shows, 1,200, 1,300 dog shows. And I always go through, it's a 5-day show. I'm judging two of them. So I'll go through and look for the day before, maybe, or even the days I'm judging to see if there's breeds I can observe. And there's only one breed that I'm not judging on the whole card that has a major one day. And this is a 1,200, 1,300 dog show. That's how it's spread, even in the classes. The judge has only been judging them for 11 years, so it doesn't count. I have to observe under a judge who's judged for 12 years, and the major has to hold. Otherwise, it doesn't count. This is to be an apprentice training session for a prospective judge. If you see the little yellow stickers that say apprentice in the ring on a second person standing next to the judge, that is someone who's in apprentice training. It's worth 2 points. Of your CEUs, you usually need 10 or 5, depending on the breed.
Let's get a sticker that says scribe.
Exactly. That'd even be a cool, you have to have a cool badge to say, scrub a little ribbon or something. But the apprentice sticker gives you the opportunity to learn from a judge who has some experience in the breed, and you're in the ring with them, almost as cool as a scribe, because you can discuss those dogs. But yeah, if you're 1 year short of the judge's qualifications, or if the major breaks, it doesn't count. So you can set up your plans. You can figure out all your spreadsheets and schedules. You can drive 500 miles to that show. And if one dog doesn't show up, you don't get anything.
Done.
And now that we have 105 low entry breeds, and plenty of them don't come to any shows, you'll see no entries in many of these breeds.
Yeah.
Good luck getting those majors with someone who's judged them for 12 years. Good luck with that. So I'm not sure about that and how that works anymore. I guess you have to go, and there's majors in plenty of breeds at this weekend. Don't get me wrong. It's just that either I'm judging them or someone else is judging them that conflicts with my schedule, or breeds I don't need or I'm not interested in getting yet. But when it comes to the entire sporting and hound group, there's only, besides the ones I'm doing, this one major one day of the breeds I'm interested in. And yeah, I'm a year short. And hope, and there is a major. I just hope it holds.
That makes zero sense.
And by the way, this breed, I have a pretty good grasp on. No, this one in particular, I'm really comfortable with. But nope. Again, Will, the problem is, and I've talked to several people about this just this week, the system's fair to a fault. It's too fair.
Yeah.
You can't give the same requirements and test to everybody because everybody's not the same.
That's
as
right.
Far as quality, knowledge, and gift and experience and depth, they're not the same. And by the way, there are plenty of handlers who I still don't think have the depth and knowledge. I'm not just saying you've been a handler for 20 years, you should be a judge automatically. There are other attributes you need, decision making. Do you going to put up the ones you showed and won, even though they weren't any good? I mean, you've got some work to do too. It shouldn't be everybody, but there are plenty of people who have devoted their entire lifetimes to this sport. Who, if you don't meet certain qualifications or tick certain boxes, you're back to doing application after application, paperwork after paperwork. I've got stacks of paper. I just had to do a whole new filing system for 12 more breeds.
That's crazy.
Oh, by the way, I talked to a judge last night about it, and she said, "You have three Winkies. Doesn't that count? Is that a CU?" No, it does not count.
You're the same as anybody else who doesn't have any Winkies.
We're all the same. We're all the same. And I remember I get that. You know, we're all going through the same process. Everybody has to do it. You should not say, I'm the only one that should not have to go through the process. That is not what I'm saying. I shouldn't be treated any more differently than anybody else in our current system. But, man, I don't know. I sit there through seminars where people get their points and haven't paid one bit of attention. And if they did, they didn't have the background to absorb the data.
Yeah.
They didn't have the background. Like you've said, you go to Tim Hortons. You could actually give someone, you used to say the standard test, right? And they'd nail it because it's an open book. Nail the standard test. You could also give them the judge's rules and regulations. They could also nail the procedure test.
Without ever entering your ring. Yeah.
And with zero background, they could pass all the tests 100% in all three tests.
I wrote an article years ago. It's called Dog Show Judge Needed, No Experience Necessary.
It's true. Yeah, it's true.
No.
But yeah, so be it. So make your specials national. Be vigilant about your stuff, unfortunately, and your dogs. Extra vigilant, because even vigilant people get robbed, right? And try to be like Fan Yu. Try to be kind and generous and humble.
And I hate ending this on a sad note, but I want to announce that we did lose someone last week. Betty Ann Leninger passed away last week. What a wonderful, classy dog person. You know, she carried herself so well all the time. When we saw her judge best show at Westminster, it was an event. She's from up here. She's from Newfoundland, the Rock. Yeah. So
she was a presence in the ring. She had grace and elegance and composure. And boy, she looked good doing it because of her composure. And her it's like Jim Reynolds. He walks into a ring, he looks like he's got this right. We'll never know if Jim knows anything about dogs. Because he's so darn good at it. Actually, we do know that Jim knows
everything about dogs. He's proven it.
What a great mentor he is.
But yeah, Betty Ann, she was a great handler as well.
Yeah. I don't remember her as a handler, of course.
And she was married to Jeff Rucker, and her and Jeff had a handling business.
I do remember that.
And she was a great Doberman handler, wonderful Doberman handler.
I forgot all about that.
And she had the same grace and class. She was same style when she was showing dogs as she did when she was judging dogs. You're just drawn to those type of people.
Yeah. I didn't put that
very
together.
Sad. I'm sorry for her family and it's just one of those things again. Time marches on, Wayne.
Well, every time we talk about these greats in the sport that have passed on, I hope there's people to fill their shoes, at least fill their slots.
Yeah.
And I hope we're doing what we can to create those opportunities for those young people. I don't know, Will. Happier days ahead.
Yep.
I've got a busy schedule. I just looked and there's a couple of months where I'm almost feeling guilty about not being home, but I love every minute of it. And I just have to regulate that. When you get a call from certain clubs, you love the people, you love the club, but maybe it's Memorial Day weekend in an area where you don't want to go and you could be home with your family having barbecues.
Yeah.
You know, after a while, I started thinking through that stuff.
Oh, that happened to me this week. Our friend Doug Belter, he called me and asked me if I was able to do a job this weekend. And I thanked him for the chance, but I've been gone for 3 weeks.
Yeah,
I need to be home.
We've got to take care of ourselves, like they say on the airlines. Will, take care of take care of yourself. Put your mask on, whatever it's called, oxygen thing on before you take care of your kid. And the reason for that is you can't take care of them if you can't breathe, right? Same thing with us. We've got to take care of ourselves. We can't help our sport, our clients, our dogs, our families, our friends, and our enemies. There you have it. That's all I got, Will. Take us out, buddy.
All right, man. All be safe out there, guys. It was great catching up to you, and we'll see you down the road.
Party on, Greg.
No way.
Better be paying attention, Doc.
Thanks for the answer.
So, Ernie, you use this in the blooper reel.
That's right.
We love you, Ernie.
Don't put that in, Ernie.
Quit taking yourself so damn seriously.
Thanks, sir.
We didn't mention hockey either.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Put that in, Doc.
Yeah, they want to see it in a blooper anywhere.